Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, tonight we got them. Goldie, the Sulk, and JC.
The disgusting. And it starts right now.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers, by writers, who hate writing. And may I add, Dana Walden's favorite podcast. Should we just put that in up top of every podcast? Dana Walden's favorite. Here it is.
Why do you keep poking the tiger?
Because I'm not
what
sure.
What is your compulsion
I'm
here?
I'm not sure that she's even listening. So I want to, it's like I'm poking air.
Just in case she
And she's not a tiger. She's a wonderful tiger, a wonderful, caring, benevolent
she
tiger.
She already said she likes you.
Yes.
There's no way this will make her like you more. And there is some chance this will make her like you less. So I would stop.
All right. I wanted to palm Susanna Marcos' face again this week to talk to Dana, but I guess we'll leave that on the side of the highway. So, up top today, we had a couple things we wanted to talk about. I think we should just briefly tip our caps to Succession, which ended this past Sunday, as you're listening to this a couple Sundays ago. Just what a... I've never...
Stuck the landing,
wow. And I've never seen a final season of anything be that good.
Oh,
it was
nice.
It was the final season was just perfection.
The final moments too.
Oh,
because that's so important. Because sometimes these shows, I remember The Sopranos.
Yeah.
The panic of watching Meadow Park, looking at the clock, saying there's only 3 minutes left. This cannot resolve itself. In a decent way.
Yeah.
It's too late. I'm watching a live botch. they took apart the body and they can't figure out. There's, like a kidney sitting beside the body after they've stitched it up.
Oops. Did right. we leave that out there?
What do we do now? But just the penultimate scene, I thought, with about 4 minutes to go, they're in the conference room.
Oh,
and it comes down to, I am the firstborn boy.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's been the subtext of the whole show. And then I think Shiv saying, no, you're not even that because of Connor. Like,
yeah, well, but there was another little thing they threw in, which I had never heard at any point in the series, that the idea that maybe he was a bastard. Did you get that?
I didn't get that. I got that his kids were maybe bastards.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
When the
it
filing
was such...
cabinet guy.
It was such, oh, right. That's what it was. It was such confusion when they were literally clawing at each other's
But I
faces.
Learned filing cabinet guy is some sort of euphemism for a sperm bank.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I read that afterwards.
Interesting.
Is the sperm in filing cabinet notoriously?
No, I think the names are in a cabinet.
Yeah,
probably.
When you go to choose your donor, they have a file of people and be like, oh, this is what I want. I want to, or whatever, and then you go, oh, here's in our file. You go into the file cabinet.
That's a tangent. And we'll get right back to Succession. I there have been couples in my life who were looking for a sperm donor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they come to
Didn't
you?
Didn't ask me. Never been asked by anyone. Very insulting.
First joke of the day. First joke of the day.
Even if you're not going to use me, ask me. Right. And this goes out to everyone who's thinking of doing this. Ask everyone close to you. They will not object to jizzing.
No.
They'll give it to you, and then you just
dump it out.
Don't use it.
Dump it out on the way home, out the window.
But ask.
Yeah. That's an easy toss out the window. 1980s yes. style littering. Just a cup of jizz out the window on yeah. your way home. That is insulting. I'm sorry that you weren't.
Okay, back to Succession.
Okay,
back
that was Succession. That yes. was that partially. The last shots of Kendall with that fucking driver and the choppy waters and just stare. It was so artfully rendered, that finale. It was just so great. And it was
the
way
interview,
things work.
The creator.
Yeah.
One Jesse thing Armstrong. I would ask, like kind of 40 minutes into it, Jesse Armstrong, I would say, how many different takes of Roman at the bar getting that martini did you have? And what different looks option wise did you have? Because it's like, I kind of picture the filming of that. Like, can you do, like, now you're sad about it? You know how we would direct it on dads or whatever. Yeah, it's like, we're going to need some options in the edit. Can you do one where now you're happy, but then you think about it a little more and you're mildly upset?
Yeah. Just give us wistful on this one. Wistful.
Laughing. Just laughing maniacally. Let's see what that looks like. Have some fun with it. Now just do ones where I don't tell you what to do and you just kind of roll.
Well, so the creator's name is Jesse Armstrong, and we have to give him a shout out because he wrote so many of the episodes. He's a British guy. I've seen him interviewed a few times. And so now Goldie and JC, I got to ask, in light of Succession, Armstrong-wise, who you got? Jesse, Lance, or Stretch?
Well, I mean, that's easy, isn't it? Wouldn't that be a Jesse?
Well, that's recency bias.
Right.
You remember
but
all the fun hours you had with Stretch Armstrong as a kid? That was absolutely the best toy.
Yeah, maybe that's why I didn't have that connection to Stretch Armstrong.
You didn't have it as a toy?
Uh-uh.
Oh, boy.
Was I really a mistake?
Back to Succession again.
No. Which Armstrong? We're playing Which Armstrong. So Succession, we don't have much more to say about it. You've all seen it by now, even though I'm not sure JC has.
I have not.
I could tell by your face.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I could tell by your face when we were talking about it. But let's just say that what was great about the final season was it was so messy. When Logan dies, it's messy. It wasn't like a death scene and like a last words. It was just, he's collapsed on the floor and we're going to try and revive him for an hour. But you know what? He's dead. And then nobody knew what to do. And then nobody knew what to do all the way till the end of the show, where it was still in doubt, as you said, Goldie, with 3 minutes left in the entire series. It was still messy and up in the air and they could not decide amongst themselves. So, boy.
Well, the mark of a good show sometimes is it's both what they do and what they don't do.
Yeah.
And a couple things that they didn't do, which were great, which was Logan in the death throes and people going, are you going to be okay? And him going like, leave it to.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Right. And the closest they came to that, which was great, was the document where it was kind of hazy whether Kendall was underlined or crossed out.
Yes.
Which was perfect. The second thing.
And Greg question mark.
Yeah. The second area where they held their fire that I'm so glad they did, and it was so well done, was they did the election drama, and they only brought it up to say, hey, it's in the courts. This thing might not happen, when Connor was talking about his ambassadorship and that now being ambiguous as to whether it would happen or not. So they didn't do a whole commentary on the election and what could happen. And that was just really well handled.
That was so well played. And to add on to that point, Roman, just after the election and when they had potentially just fucked the country by proclaiming this one guy the winner, at the end of it, he's like, we gave him a good night of television. It was good entertainment. That's it. Like,
and
that's, you have to believe that's so close to the way that it's being thought of.
Well, Roman in particular, from the beginning, He only wanted it because it was maybe possible. He didn't really have a passion for it at all. It just was something that could happen. So then he began thinking, maybe it should happen and I should want it. I do want it.
Right.
Okay, you're going to get it. I don't want it.
That seems so real. That's like...
Right. Good.
Right. Like that's what a lot of people go through.
And did anyone see, like, I guess there was someone online who pretty accurately guessed the ending and for a strange reason, which I thought was so cool, which is there was a baseball player in the 1890s whose last name was Wamsgans.
Yes.
And his only like credit of note is he's the only player in Major League Baseball history to have an unassisted triple play in the World Series. And so somebody guessed the ending based on that. And I thought that was so cool.
Whoa.
That's next level, as the kids like to say.
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, to name a guy Wamsgans.
I know, it's quite a risk.
That you then go, well, that should be a clue, because that's so odd, unless it's someone from high school you're still in love with, like Will Wamsgans.
Will Willis.
All
right, well, so anyway, great job, Jesse Armstrong, and all the actors and writers on Succession. Oh, my God, you guys made a fantastic show.
We did it. Put
our arm around Succession. We did it, guys.
We landed a plane.
But Goldie, more importantly, it's getting warm out. It's almost swimming season. You must be psyched about having your little piscine in the backyard.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this is a public service to people that I want to give. Mm-hmm. So. I'm fortunate enough to have a pool. We've been over that.
Yes.
My house is diminutive, and yet I have a swimming pool. So that's the crown jewel of the house.
Yes.
Very grateful for it. Use it a lot. Now, here's the thing. People have started...
Oh, no.
...in a very ham-handed way to try to get in touch with me to see how I'm doing... And it's so transparent. The timing of this coincides with the arrival of summer and the desire to use the pool.
Yeah, let's get the kids together. Let's get the kids together.
Pool owners are not stupid, okay? If you want to use their pool and you want to make it seem like you're just getting in touch but not to use the pool and you want to finesse this invitation, you need to start this in February. You don't start... In fucking the second week of May, the third week of May, checking in and going like, hey, it's been a while. Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Has it been a while?
It's been a while.
As I make the final pH arrangements on my pool and I have the tubes and I'm checking the water. And coincidentally, I'm getting this call that I seem to also remember getting at a similar time last year. Don't start greasing me in fucking May. Busy in March. The doldrums of March. Check on me then. And by the way, if I like your kid, maybe. And if your kid is in diapers, no. I don't want someone in diapers in my fucking pool. So no, there's absolutely no way. So if you want to do it, first thing you should say to me is in this, you know, highly choreographed thing that you think you're so suave and I'm so unaware of and you're such a diplomat and so smooth that the person with the pool has no idea what you're doing. The first thing you should say is, hey, it was a relief this week. You know, James is finally potty trained.
Yes. Great way in.
Begin there.
Great way in. Right. And they have to invite you over to do something. At least do a mislead invite.
That's
don't
true.
Like leave this ambiguous thing up there. Like, we got to get together.
Here's an example. Yeah. I work for Disney and we have these four passes we're not using and we were thinking maybe you guys could use them. Okay. Hey, this Sunday, we were thinking of having some people over.
That's brilliant. Yes.
That's how it works. It's that simple.
Yes.
It's that simple. Yes. I love it. Yeah. And it's, speaking of kids in diapers and no... Al Pacino just got his girlfriend pregnant.
What?
Oh, well, are we doing the Johnny jokes now? Or are we...
Oh, is this in Johnny jokes? I didn't know.
For me. Is it
okay,
for you?
Okay, fine. I'm not going to step on it. Just you said no, and it made me think of him. Kids in diapers. Hey, well, what do we...
Is your pool completed, by the way? Did that convicted felon or whatever who was supposed to do your pool, finish it.
That's a little Craig breath there.
Pool season, here we go, right?
That was a long sigh. Size matter, by the way. So, yeah, no, not quite. Almost.
Really?
Almost.
2024?
Yeah, we're looking at next summer as a real party. No, it's going to be ready soon. But
yeah.
So oh,
yeah.
I'm told, I keep being told next week, but I do have confidence that.
But how are you guys doing? You're doing good?
Yeah, actually very well. Still, dude.
Yeah, cool. We should get together.
Yeah. What? Oh, wait a minute.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, let's not pussyfoot around. Let's get in to Johnny Joe.
From where? That's right, Hollywood. Here's Johnny.
Oh, yes. Keeping it light and lively today. Well, an earlier report that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is running for president has been corrected, so we can now officially say that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is walking for president. Heavy
That's
guy.
Meat and potatoes for the constituents.
That's right. There we go. Here's a more Alex Sultan.
Does Chris Christie know Will Willis?
Chris Christie, Will Willis, Bob Roberts. Okay. Well, the legal woes continue to mount for MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell after an electric blanket his company sells caused a house fire in Ohio. Wow. Lindell has pled not guilty. I was laughing because I had to say, for those of you at home, I had to record that twice, and I was laughing that we're taking time for that. Okay. A 102-year-old woman in France recently said that the key to a long life is great sex. So apologies to my wife, whose life expectancy just dropped dramatically. And two more today.
Apologies to my wife, tragically dead at 31.
That would have been better. That would have been better. Based on stool samples, scientists have determined that the two users of an ancient toilet in Jerusalem were very unhealthy. And that from just my 23andMe. My relatives. And finally, a lengthy, wordy one, finally. That's the way you want to do it.
Imagine you're just having diarrhea 2,000 years ago, and you're like, all right, but at least, like, no one's going to remember.
Yeah.
You just
they found
shat
it.
Your toga, and you're embarrassed, and you run into this bathroom, and you're, like, scraping it off, and you go, okay, well, it's over.
Right, and at least no one will ever know about that. Yeah, somehow they have pictures of them. Here's what they might have looked like. All right, finally, the new show, The Idol, from Euphoria creator Sam Levinson, is receiving just a 9% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, with critics calling it tasteless, bordering on pornography. The show airs on HBO Sundays at 10 and on Max as soon as your wife falls asleep.
All right.
Take it away, Johnny Two.
All right. Well, as you've heard, 82-year-old Al Pacino's 29-year-old girlfriend is 8 months pregnant.
Whoa.
Yeah, she says she's looking forward to the feedings, burpings, and changing diapers until the baby is born.
That's the well talk about meat and potatoes.
They're very obvious where that was
so
going.
Good.
Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes has begun serving her 11-year prison sentence for fraud, but she hasn't exhausted her appeals. Today she told authorities she has a revolutionary technology that makes one day in prison equal to a decade. Requires specific knowledge about Theranos.
Oh, yeah, we all know that swindler.
Yes.
And meanwhile, sales of Bud Light are down 30% as controversy over trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney continues to swirl. Budweiser is confident cooler heads will prevail, and their customers will eventually realize they're alcoholics.
Yes.
Okay, this next one, we've never done this before. This is a Jim Gaffigan.
Ooh.
Oh, God bless him.
It's a Jim Gaffigan joke.
Love it. So is it going to be like 7 jokes in a row about the same topic?
You'll see.
Okay.
A man was arrested after shooting his roommate in a fight over who ate the last Hot Pocket. Shot Pocket.
Yes. Amazing. Oh, that brings me back to 96.
Yeah. If you haven't familiarized yourself with Jim Gaffigan's Hot Pocket bit, just go YouTube Jim Gaffigan Hot Pocket.
I like that joke.
You know, I thought he would have more hair.
I thought he would have more jokes on that topic.
I didn't even remember that the Hot Pocket jingle was Hot Pocket. So how would I get Shot Pocket?
And I've got one more. And finally, a New York fertility doctor accused of using his own sperm to impregnate patients died over the weekend. He is survived by We Have No Idea.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Oh, that was a great. That's great. That was a great closing line. We have no idea.
Oh.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, boy, folks, friends, you are in for a not treat this week, as we were, because Goldie, our brainiac friend, Goldie had an idea for today's show, and the idea was that we all watch Gutfeld.
Yes, so the same episode.
The same episode, which we did. So for those of you who might not know, Gutfeld is the number one late night show. I Googled this.
I can't believe that's true.
It seemed to be true from what I could find. It's on Fox News, and it's a 1-hour late night show on Fox News. So
it gets higher ratings than The Tonight Show.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
And Kimmel.
Colbert.
Yeah.
Kimmel. I don't know what else.
Those are the three biggies.
I mean, The Tonight Show. This is shocking to us as veteran late night scribes.
Yes.
And it's at the same time, too.
Yeah. Well, it's at 11. It gets a little bit of a jump on them. But that's the difference between them and ratings was significant.
Oh, my God.
It's like they're 20% higher. And I did notice that it went down since the Fox News settlement. I feel like there's been kind of a...
It's probably Tucker Carlson and not the settlement.
Yes, right. Which were sort of...
I don't think their viewers cared about the Dominion case at all.
All right,
so
let's... But
I think they probably cared about Tucker.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a good point. But one thing, it was a chain reaction. Let's put it that way. So let's get into this. Oh, my God. Goldie, God bless you for coming up and thinking of ideas for the show, but this one was particularly painful. So right out of the gate, the intro
with these letters running through town. It looked like, do you remember the Garfield cartoon? It said, yeah, Gutfeld and Garfield. It was the same font.
I wonder if that
the
was
same level of bouncy excitement. So right away, it was ridiculous.
Can I preface this too, yes, with, it's going to sound hard to believe, but I did enter this with no preconceptions of it, yes, being good or bad. And I'm very open to it being good and saying, oh, hey, this was super well done, really well produced, really tight writing, not for me.
Yeah.
Or don't agree with it. Or maybe I would be surprised and go, hey, like, you guys should check this out.
Right. I totally agree with that assessment.
Because the quality is surprisingly high, and that's how they've gotten the audience. So I just want to make that clear before we go in.
Yes.
The task wasn't, here's this thing on a news channel we don't like.
Yeah, let's
bash
get it.
It was literally like, let us discover why this is the most watched show in late night.
And so that's a great point to make, and I'll just tag on to that. It's like when you watch a comedian who might be a little right of center or just a little center, and you hear them go off on, you know, woke culture and this and that, and they can be funny, and you're laughing along with them, and you're like, yes, you know what, this guy is really funny. I can get into this. Like, he's not someone I would necessarily go out and see, but that's funny. So we were looking for, I think, Goldie, you and I for sure, and I'm sure, mm-hmm, you too, JC,
yeah,
you're just
absolutely
looking to laugh. Like,
yes. And particularly
a comedy show.
In light of the fact that we're on strike, to see what kind of writing was being done because he uses non-union people.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And to say, could I confidently say there's a difference in quality, yeah, between WGA and non-WGA? And I think I can confidently say, yes, there is.
Yeah, based on this, absolutely.
But,
and so, Goldie,
but,
you...
So I think, yeah, we went in trying to understand the appeal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Totally right. And as we talked about a little bit beforehand, this was, we lucked our way into a best of,
yes,
episode. Like,
yes,
we didn't know that. We were just like, we're all going to record the show on Monday night and we'll watch it and see what it is. So we luckily get a best of.
Yeah.
So Goldie, I know you were thinking, as I was thinking going into this, okay, these are the things he's selected.
Yeah.
So he's
someone, yeah,
telling us this is an A plus. Like, if you're,
right,
if you want to know Gutfeld, here is my resume. My hair has been, you know, shorn. I'm
yes,
presenting my cleanest self. I have an engagement ring in my pocket. I'm ready to pop the question and consummate this union with you. I'm Gutfeld.
Right. Welcome.
And, you know, I will say, having worked on some of these shows, when we would put together any best of on Kilborn, or even the reel, the sizzle reel that plays for the audience before the show begins, because sometimes they're not familiar with the show. They were just...
Yeah.
Dum dums walking in Burbank who wanted to see something.
Yeah, yeah.
And this
exactly
is what they see. Those reels were great.
Yes.
Like,
right,
you could assemble, you know, I enjoyed Kilborn on a nightly basis, but even if you didn't,
right,
you would enjoy the highlight reel or the best of show or the anniversary show, because
totally right,
there were many good moments. So I was expecting we would be presented with like montages of jokes that were killer, a couple bits, and then moments from interviews that just shone, where people were super funny.
Right.
And again, that we would go, okay, like, I get, yeah, why you would maybe choose this over Fallon or Colbert.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Or Kimmel.
And so my first impressions right away, the first question I was asking myself, is he Jewish? Please don't be Jewish. Because his name's Gutfeld.
Yeah.
He looks kind of like he could be a Jewish guy. And I was thinking to myself, don't do this to me. We've got enough bad things with Epstein and Weinstein. We don't
right
need Gutfeld. So I Wikipedia'd it, raised Catholic. We're off the hook. Raised
okay,
Catholic.
Okay.
So that was first relief in moment one. The set was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just right away, aesthetically, it looked like, you know, you think of the top late night show, Goldie's, you said the Tonight Show. Obviously, that's the gold standard. And it's a grand Hollywood style experience. Still today with Fallon, it's still that.
Yeah.
And when you had Dave on Broadway and it felt like you were in the middle of the New York theater district, and here's this hilarious, and the Ed Sullivan Theater, it's all tied together.
This was just like a room with a carpet. Like it had nothing. There was nothing dynamic or interesting about the way the show was presented, I felt like. There was a point in the first couple of minutes where I almost said, I quit the podcast. I'm turning this off. Like right away, what I was struck by throughout the whole show, and I'm sure you noticed this too, how in a best of episode can you have so many clunker jokes with zero audience reaction?
Okay, I got to weigh in with my thoughts a little bit here, because the first thing I've written down as I'm taking notes is, where is his charisma?
Yes.
What is the appeal? Why is this person, we are told, Gutfeld. Yeah. We're just told.
Gutfeld.
Here's Gutfeld.
Exclamation. Exclamation.
Yes.
Exclamation. And then you just go, he's not terrible or something, but there's very little there. There's not
Agreed.
Like a glint in the eye. There's not repartee. There's not an excess of charm. There's no center of gravity. It's not the Bill Maher thing where you're going, well, this guy's just whipping off sort of news and statistics and viewpoints in an elegant way very quickly. It's he's just sitting there in the midst of this. Now, I thought initially there was no audience and
Me
the
too.
Crew was laughing. Yeah. But then they said, come to New York and get tickets to see Gutfeld. So the guy is bombing in front of his own audience in his best of show.
Yes.
The entire time.
Yes.
Like there was not a laugh that was more than, huh. Yeah.
And remember there was that one moment where it's like, it was like a fat people joke. And then nobody laughed, and he was like, make sure that's cut. He said something weird about it, like there was, because no one's laughing.
So I thought the whole point of Fox News was giving this segment of people what they want, but even they don't appear to want it when they're there. And that was the most puzzling thing to me about this show.
Well,
that it's successful, but no one seems to enjoy it.
But here's the thing. Because I had that exact same thought, and I think my next thought connected to that was, oh, they just want to enjoy and prop up something that the left doesn't like. So it's like just the fact that it's the Fox News nightly show. It's the Fox News version of The Tonight Show. They're going to support it and watch it, and even if they're not laughing, even if they don't enjoy it, because
but
they
here's,
know
here's
how
much. Here's the thing, is that it wasn't, and I've written this down, they're fighting so hard for the right to make mediocre, mildly bigoted jokes. That these are not even things that really pissed me off, because they weren't good enough to piss me off or make me feel bad or make me feel anything. And they were just not, I mean, there was nothing appeared to be written. Like, he did one Leonardo DiCaprio joke twice on the same best of about him having young girlfriends. Yeah. But in terms of, I've heard that joke in many different forms on many different shows.
Yes.
And in terms of those, it broke no new ground, nor was it very well written, nor is Leonardo DiCaprio a particularly sacred cow with me or anyone else. So I don't know who was so excited to hear that. And that also, one thing I was talking about with my wife last night was that they have, even more than we do, an imaginary straw man. They are beating up. Like, who is this imaginary person they're so angry at, who's so anxious to cancel them, who is saying they can't say this stuff, which they're not saying anything that you can't say, because they're not saying anything at all, hardly. All they're saying is that, like, I bet I can't say what I want. But what do you want to say? Because,
the
stuff that they want to say seems to be like, one guy made a joke, my stove identifies as electric.
Yes.
They were talking about, and so they clearly want to,
they're
not even good enough to say the stupid joke of my pronouns are kiss my ass, that Ted Cruz or Roseanne Barr or everyone in that world uses and gets huge applause. Like, they're not even skilled enough to do that. Like, they just want to use the word identifies to show, like, oh, liberals think anyone can identify with what they want. And so when I say identifies, I'm going to show them it's ridiculous. But it's like, I don't feel I don't feel like particularly exposed or angry or anything. I just feel like mildly puzzled that you can't put a joke together on TV.
Right. Well, and so one of the segments that was their lead segment in this best of, the theme of it was Gen Z workers are a big problem now.
Yes. And all so, the topics are straw men.
Like, yes.
Like Gen Z workers are a problem. Another one was liberals are more depressed than conservatives. Yes. A study.
Yeah, another one was airline jokes. Can you lean
your should
seat
you be
back?
Allowed to put your seat
oh, yeah.
back? So I'm sorry, go on. But just to show the topics, like it's not like real time, which I thought it was going to be a more conservative real time where they're like, hey, look, here, you know, this is a bullshit story, but like the conservatives thought there was a high school that had a litter box for a kid who identified as a cat. It turned out to be bullshit or whatever. But I thought they were going to be doing like that and then getting inflamed. But they're not even doing that. Like, it's the most benign
topics. That was another takeaway from it. All the topics felt like, oh, this is what you're going to try and get everyone riled up about? I mean, it's like, say whatever you will about either side of the aisle, but it feels like on the left, it's kind of like their talking points are like, hey, we kind of feel like everyone should be treated equal. Like, and we feel like there shouldn't be starving homeless people everywhere. And the right, or the Gutfeld is like, can you put your seat back or are we too woke to do that now?
Right, the word woke is a catch-all for them, like an undefined catch-all. Like, to me, woke... if I were a conservative, and by the way, this show got me thinking, like, do we turn heel, become conservative comics? Because within a week, I would have $30 million. Dominate. I would be undeniably the greatest conservative comic.
Yes. Because
I could 100%. Do this. I could find the fucking jokes if I wanted to, and I could, like, come up with the stats, and I could argue. I can get inflamed, right?
Yes.
So I would just take my inflammation and put it on this side of the topic and scream at people.
Yeah, you'd be on at 8 p.m. at the CPAC conference. Right. Like, you would be the keynote speaker. Yes.
But so woke to conservative just means that, like, we're going to force their kids to have some kind of anal sex or something. Like, it's like that. It's some crazy, which, and crazily enough, you know, and that they somehow think trans people are going to do it. Now, crazily enough, the one institution they venerate, the church, where the men are wearing robes, and this is actually an organized thing that has been proven over and over again, but they don't touch that. Like, they're not concerned with that, where it's actually been proven that this is happening, has happened,
grooming.
And is an epidemic. But let's never talk about that.
Never.
But let's talk about, because there's a swimsuit at Target for adults way off in the corner, I'm sure, that helps people who've had gender reassignment tuck in their genitals or want gender reassignment or waiting. And it's like God bless Target
for
allowing people to have some fucking dignity in their stores and purchase an item and make them feel welcome.
Yeah.
God fucking bless them for people who are having a hard time can walk into a Target and get a product that makes them feel a little better about themselves.
Yeah.
And like... the fact that this is what they have a problem with. But to me, woke means a little more awareness, a little more courtesy, that the traditional ways of thinking may have harmed or excluded people. And that's it.
Yes.
And if you want to just go like, no, they were perfect, okay, that's a viewpoint. But to go that this is some sort of conversion, like based on what's going on in your home.
Right.
And the molestation epidemic, like, that's not even an argument to me. Like,
I know.
It's ridiculous. So the use of woke as this catch-all was, to me, like, that was the only thing they appeared to have.
Yes.
But they couldn't even use it correctly.
No.
I also felt a thing that they always leaned on was sexuality. Everything was about sex. It was like...
yes.
Everything was like, well, you know, these depressed liberals, no wonder why they're not getting laid. It was like always this very aggressive.
Yeah, like, they're not on top. They've never been on top.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Bad
puns.
Really
about
bothered
that.
Me.
And I like a bad pun, so I know that. But there was also, just to talk about it for a minute structurally, because I think I went into this, like, I wonder what this show is. And we chatted a little bit before about this, but I was expecting a monologue, maybe some kind of a little sketch or desk piece, as we call it, like some little thing where it's just Gutfeld doing a little routine, whether it's with graphics or without
Wasn't
graphics.
Wasn't that the beginning? I thought he did that at the beginning.
No,
he sat at the desk and introduced the best of. And to be fair, we haven't seen a regular Gutfeld. It's possible he does that. I don't
know. But it seemed weird that he wouldn't include any of it. I got the impression that every night starts with, you know, applause and guests already sitting there or being introduced and coming out. But so there are no sketches. There's no monologue. It's just this forum where they have four guests and then Gutfeld in the middle. And it's sort of a very old-fashioned setup, like a political show. Mm-hmm. It almost looked like the Politically the Incorrect with Bill Maher.
It's like the McLaughlin Group if everyone was stupid.
Right.
Like no one knew anything.
Next
no one had any qualifications. And everyone was a fucking moron who, you know, like to me it was like a one-beer conversation with the other dads at the school that you have nothing in common with. There's no rapport.
No,
there was no
certainly
none. And they kept sort of, you know, we got a sampling of a few guests, and I think we can conclude from that there are a couple of, I guess, what we might call regulars. One of them being Kat Timpf, who likes to put consonants next to each other in her last name. That does not make any sense. So Kat Timpf seemed like, as you were saying, Goldie, she was sort of the most ready for prime time.
I understood why she was on TV. I didn't think she was particularly good at it, but it made sense. And I think she's someone who, having Google around a little bit, I think she's someone who traffics in like comedy you can't say, but without ever actually doing that comedy.
Yes.
Right. Like there's a lot of self-righteousness about the right for me to make these jokes. And it's like, but you're not making them.
Right, I know.
So what are those jokes, though, that you're so adamant about preserving the sacredness of you being able to say them, but what are they?
It's so funny that you bring that up because, and you, I think you might have even been there when we did a thing for Peter, I don't know if you remember, where he had a Netflix special where he was a comedian who just said the setups of jokes. And so it was just a lot of him walking around like, flew on an airplane recently. So and they're letting gays get married now, huh? And then just long pause, which is basically what this show was.
Right.
Yeah, it was just saying the buzzwords to like get, but the buzzwords
Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg's birthday party.
Well, I wrote something down about that because he said like, oh, she got kicked out of Chuck E. Cheese for basically being liberal. And then he says, that's not a true story, but who cares?
Yes, I wrote that down as well.
I couldn't believe it.
And it's like, that's Fox News. That's what you do. Yes. Like, that's their thing.
Right.
Apparently.
And also, let's like pull the break here for a second. This is on Fox News.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that's crazy.
Well, I heard that CNN is seriously contemplating putting together their own.
Oh, everyone is going to be doing this because the budget is.
Right.
That show costs $600 to produce. The set's terrible.
Right.
The guests, I'm probably getting an appearance fee, but I mean, they would.
They're
do
all
it
Fox
for
talent
free.
Anyway. It was like all you know. That was another funny thing. It almost seemed like a Key and Peele sketch where when they would introduce some weird looking white guy with a strange sounding made up name over an even stranger sounding made up show. It was like, here's Bill Wanamaker from The Ringer Plus Five. And it's like, I don't know if any of this exists.
There was one moment I wanted to bring up to you in particular, which was, so that sidekick, the wrestling guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrus.
It's like
Will Willis.
I'm gonna break it down. I'll give you the tough guy, the real thing. So
with the belt over his shoulder.
Yeah, the belt over his shoulder. The wrestling.
So that was like, you know, when Amy Schumer came out in the Steve Harvey suit and it was funny for like 3 minutes, and then it's like, but wait, now you're gonna have to wear this Steve Harvey suit for an hour 15.
Yeah,
because that's an enormous miscalculation. It's like if you came out with a belt and then handed it to someone,
right?
And there was a belt handler, like that would be a bit, but you sitting with a belt is not working. Anyway, so the topic was liberals are more depressed than conservatives.
Don't I know?
And they had one study. There was very little proof of this, but whatever. It was enough to get them in. And then someone suggested the reason for this was all the weed they're smoking. There's no proof provided now that liberals smoke more weed or nothing. This is just conjecture. Like it's because of all the weed they smoke. So then this Tyrus guy says, it's not all the weed.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, it's not all the weed because I smoke weed and we smoke weed. So I guess this is like the controversial take. And he goes, and then he starts, they veer into this observational comedy that these aren't actual observable things, right? So he goes, it's not all the weed. We smoke weed. And is there anything worse than when a liberal comes in and ruins a pot party?
Pot party.
And you go, what? Like, the phrase pot party, like, yes. I'll just set that to the side.
Such a groovy way to put it.
That's like the dinner mint I'll grab on the way in, knowing that I might forget to do it on the way out, but it'll be in my pocket later. So I'll take pot party. I'll put it over here.
Melted.
Okay, so I don't live in Kansas or Montana or real estate. So there are these conservative pot parties, like people are like in the parking lot getting blasted on pot before the Marco Rubio rally, you know, or going in to watch Passion of the Christ. They're like, let's toke up beforehand. And then the idea that there's a liberal who goes to these, who like knowing these people is also A, invited, or B, not invited, and worse, would go uninvited, right. Show up. And then the example he gives is he goes, you know, because you're having a good time. And then they come in and they go, you know, the polar bears are dying. Like, what fucking world is that? Like, I know they think we live in a made-up world of delusion and Trump derangement syndrome or whatever, but, like, what fucking universe is this happening in? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, this right. is 1966.
That's all yeah. made up!
It's a Debbie ridiculous. Downer sketch.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There were so many moments in watching the show that I felt like it's an SNL sketch. Like it's an SNL sketch that is not getting laughs.
To me, the only watchability of it was, I don't know if you remember, probably about 20 years ago now, CNBC gave John McEnroe a talk show called yes. You Can't Be Serious.
Oh, I didn't know.
And the idea was that because he was so adamant, he would be adamant all the time and get you worked mm-hmm. up and you would watch it. But it became very clear, like 8 minutes into the first episode, he had no idea how to host a show,
yeah,
how to have or direct a conversation,
yeah,
or what he should be doing on air.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
I remember I used to, this became must see viewing for me.
Yes, I watched it was several so inept. Too.
What?
Yeah.
And so, I'm so
jealous.
There was one time he had Paul Bettany on.
Wow.
And he was promoting some movie, but McEnroe didn't know anything about that movie.
Oh, no.
So he started asking about old movies. And he was like, I guess he was in that HBO movie called The Mick, about Mickey, or no, Roger Maris, maybe?
Oh,
something.
Yeah. 61, yeah.
So he was like, you played the Mick. What's Mickey Mantle like? And the guy's like, I don't know. And then he showed a clip from that. And then he showed a clip from two of his older movies. Like, he showed three clips in 5 minutes of three different movies. Like, he had no... Right. And so I think, like, the appeal to me is, not even as a liberal, but as a TV professional, is just that this is so inept that it's compelling.
Right. Watching a train crash, you know. Like.
Yeah, and it's not even like a train wreck.
There's no train wreck.
It's more like watching a train slowly go down the wrong track in a way that doesn't seem fatal, but it's still like, that's not the right track, though, right?
No. That's so well put. It was like watching somebody tell me what was going to happen at my next dentist appointment. Like, I'm not in the chair getting drilled, but you're like, the guy's telling you, like, yeah, that they're probably going to drill. And you're like, I don't like this. Okay, I get it. I have a note down here in my phone making notes about this. 7 minutes in, and I'm struggling.
Is that when you texted us?
I so wanted to cut out of this thing.
It felt like reading the footnotes of a book.
Yeah.
I like that those.
It wasn't the book. Right. Like, this shouldn't be the main thing.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It is interesting.
Because I'm not sure, I wrote this down toward the end, I'm not sure he believes it. Like, the thing about conservative TV And Tucker Carlson, it's almost now documented he doesn't believe it. And, you know, I saw reported that he back-channeled to Hunter Biden to get his kid a recommendation into Georgetown. Yeah. And the New York Times had a big profile a year ago about how he's actually liberal journalists' most coveted source. Like, he goes off the record and gives tips all the time. And that, he was vaccinated at a time when he was questioning the vaccine. But he does a great job of making you think he believes it.
Right.
Yeah.
But Gutfeld, I don't even believe he believes it. I think he's just kind of saying it because he thinks it works. But
yes,
he doesn't seem to care about conservatism any more than we do.
Right.
You said before there was no like sparkle in his eye. I slightly disagree with that, but I think that it wasn't the sparkle of somebody who's like special on camera or particularly talented.
No, and he wasn't awful either by the same token.
He's
fine.
But he had this glint in his eye that I have recognized from over the years. It's the glint of a suddenly empowered nerd. Like suddenly somebody's been telling him for a while, like, this is working, Greg. You're the most popular on late night. So that is, to me, it had this a little bit of like, yeah, you were cool in high school, but look at me now, kind of thing.
This might cut to the core for you, but you know who he kind of reminds me of?
Uh-oh.
Tom Bergeron. The local Boston host, where it was almost through sheer force of will he was on TV, and by hanging around, he somehow became host of Dancing with the Stars, and then that just happened to become a hit. Like, it shouldn't have been. It was a summer programming thing, and you go, we're going to put ballroom dancing on network TV, and anyone's going to care or watch this? And so then, all of a sudden, it was Tom Bergeron, the host, and he, and I say this as someone who watched him on a local media market, and then saw him for years on one of my favorite shows, America's Funniest Home Videos, and I didn't like him because he was nasty. he genuinely relished people getting hurt, not like Alfonso Ribeiro, who is a deft showman. So I felt like I was watching that, where it was just a series of events had happened in his favor, you know, because he used to be on one of six people on a show. Like, there was a show called The Red Eye.
Oh, Red Eye, Red Eye. Right.
Yeah, and he was another on that, and I think he was good. And I used to follow him on Twitter. Like, he's not, there's not nothing there.
This Gutfeld you're talking about?
Yeah, but you go, now you just happen to have somehow trapped lightning in a bottle, but like, I didn't see the flash of lightning.
And when on Twitter, was he conservative?
I was going to say,
he's
on
Fox
Twitter?
News, but he wasn't. He seemed to enjoy comedians. Like, I think he followed me, and that was how I became aware of him. Like,
gotcha.
I think he was a consumer of comedy, and he was a guy who, like, he's comic friendly. He has comics on.
His show is listed under comedy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's the whole sort of thrust of our thesis
right,
here.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Just,
no. You don't have to apologize. You're preaching to the choir.
But maybe someone in the audience wants to correct us and tell us the appeal, and we would welcome it.
I know. Well, something that I was angrily like Googling him and like looking him up to find out, A, is he Jewish? And then B, other things about him. So the one, a very telling thing to me was, according to his Wikipedia, he's 5'5", which means he's 5'3". Okay? Because that, like, you're correcting upward on there. That explains a lot about him and his cynical viewpoint and
certainly why he's not standing for the monologue.
Yeah, right. That's right. I have a theory about people that are 5'3", or right around there, that if they were simply 3 or 4 inches taller, their lives would be completely different. Like, Paul Simon would not be a musician if he were 5'7".
Yeah.
You know, I'm 5'7", which is the exact cutoff mark for where you're not noticeably short.
Right. You aren't. Like, Goldie, you don't seem short.
Right, because I'm 5'7". Because I'm exactly, I'm like, this is the one area, and this is why it was painful when I lost my 2 inches of hair, because people thought I was 5'9", and now I'm really 5'7". But if I were a half inch shorter, it would be a problem. And one of the sad things about being that height is you can eat so little. Like, you can't eat anything because your body's too tiny.
You can't store it.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're watching people eat like a hamburger and you can only have 40% of a hamburger.
I've never thought of that.
That is depressing. That is depressing. Well, but at least it's kind of good in a way. It's like a natural diet.
Yeah, that's
like,
well, they
true.
Live forever, these people.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, they live, they all, you know, all the tall
and,
people
and
just
happily,
die off.
Happily?
Well, it depends if they're having, the key is a good sex life.
Oh, ooh, 102.
We already covered that. Rest in peace, my wife.
Wait, so did you guys notice that one of the comedians they had on sort of gave Gutfeld a hard time for smoking pot? With Bill Maher?
Yes.
I did.
So I went to that video podcast because we've listened to it a couple times. It's pretty funny where he gets drunk and stoned
I've
with his guests.
I've seen some of those.
So I watched like the first, I don't know, 7 to 10 minutes. And Gutfeld is wearing a skin tight Vandals t-shirt.
Oh,
shout out to
pumped.
Josh Fries. Yes. And he's the whole time he's like, you know, these kids, you know, they're on apps for dating. And now, you know, when I was young, I had to work on my personality to get laid. Like everything was about like how he had to get laid. And Bill Maher's just like, oh yeah, how's that working for you? And so, but I just thought it was the very first shot is of him vaping. But I don't think I see him smoke again after that.
Women,
the whole
women like nothing more than a 5'3 guy mounting them. But I just want to go back to the Vandals t-shirt for a second, and I'm going to steal the great Seth Rogen line to Ted Cruz when he tweeted about how much he loved and missed Gone with the Wind. Everyone associated with that would hate you.
Yes, yes. That's what I was thinking.
That's so true. Yeah, yeah. I got sucked into a little Cat Timpf wormhole where I watched her do quote unquote stand up.
Oh, did you laugh?
And what was it? What was the?
No,
topic
it was
choice?
Goldie. It was so funny because it was exactly what you said. It was exactly her, like and she did stand up for the Gutfeld audience. So it was like she walked from the side and did her whole thing of like they don't want me to say this. You know, it was all that. It was all that. There were no punchlines. It was just like, you know.
Wow.
Like, I guess I gotta tuck it between my legs.
Right, like knowing what they want to hear. Kind of thing.
God,
I don't know, man. There might be an opportunity for me there. I'm willing to switch sides for the right dollar amount.
Yeah, well, you could get it. I think we've established that.
Yeah,
I mean, we already work for Fox.
Yeah,
I was. That's true. Let's keep. No, I prefer to say Disney now.
Yeah,
we work for Disney.
Well, we don't work for anyone, technically.
Right? Yeah, we're Ronin writers. I was very disappointed to see Mr. Wonderful on there, our buddy from Shark Tank. What's his name? Kevin O'Leary.
Oh, yeah. He's from Shark
Tank. I don't begrudge anyone for going on. I'm not with you on that. Because, Pete Buttigieg goes on Fox News all the time. And
Different.
He destroys.
I know.
He
but
does
that's,
great. And so I don't mind someone going on there to kind of articulate.
He wasn't doing that. He wasn't.
Well,
he's famously like kind of conservative.
Oh, I don't know.
He's sort of like almost like an old sweatshop owner. Like everybody should be back in at work and the hours should never be increased.
Yeah, the one thing he got indignant about was a Gen Z person they interviewed and he wanted to bring them in for a third interview. And she said, I only interview twice. And it's like, The sort of sad subtext of that was, you know, and it's like, if you want this job, honey, you got to come in a third time. It's like, she didn't want the job. She rejected you.
That's literally
that she was not going to work for you and didn't want to for whatever you did in those first two interviews.
Right.
She decided not for me and didn't even feel the need for diplomacy. That's how bad she didn't want to work there.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I didn't even think of that,
me
but
neither.
You're totally right. I don't know if you noticed towards the end of the show, and I was, as Danny Smith would say, I was bobbing and weaving by that time. But by the end of the show, one of the guests was this, I'm just going to guess her name. Her name was like Deborah Friedman or something.
Oh, right. The blonde.
And so she had a shirt on that said, end Jew hatred. But you couldn't see hatred. It was totally
it
blocked. So
yes.
It just looked like she just said, end Jew. Like, that's it.
I didn't put that together.
Oh, God, everything was, as you say, a botch. And by the way,
and that wasn't clear to me, honestly, when I saw that and I saw her in my head, I said, does she mean hatred of Jews or does she mean like Jewish racism against Palestinians. Like, I couldn't figure that out. And I think she's Jewish, but I still am not positive.
She had a Jewish name. It could go either way still. A couple of things to note about Gutfeld's riffing and comedy style. So his version of riffing was when somebody sang the first line of the Jeffersons theme song, he just sang the next two lines, and he was like, that was his version of, I'm riffing now. It's like, we all know, man, the next lines.
Pot calling the kettle a little bit here.
What do you mean?
We do it all the time.
Oh, please. I can riff with the best of them. Yes, Goldie, start a theme song. I'll give you the next two lines. But also another version of him riffing was doing a toilet flush.
Oh, remember that?
They were bemoaning the loss of a high-powered toilet.
But also, anytime anyone does that, the sort of implication is like, you are a disgusting, repulsive shitter. Yeah. Because I'm able to flush my shits. Like, this isn't really a problem for me. So something, you may be one of the original toilet users in Israel.
Yeah. Where, yeah, I guess that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, have
again.
A few vegetables here, my friend.
Oh boy.
But they, I mean, in this area, the worst joke that I wrote down was the line, and this is a question as old as the toilet paper stuck to Whoopi Goldberg's shoe. Yeah.
I know.
It's like, she never had an incident where she was known.
Right.
For coming out with toilet paper on her shoes. So I guess you're just kind of saying she's like a slob.
Right. I think they're just trying
to say
her name. I
don't know. I kind of felt like maybe that did rattle something in my memory of like maybe that did happen on The View where she came out and she had toilet paper still on her shoes. Like,
maybe.
But still, it was
so now
such
I have to be a View
reach.
Historian to understand Gutfeld.
Well, you know, it's just you have to hate Whoopi Goldberg. Like, okay. I think a lot of the right does.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but then I don't know, because I can't stand even talking about this too much more. I had written down at the end, why did we do this? And then my DVR actually said, what the fuck, dude? Like when I erased it from the DVR, I could hear my DVR go, ah.
That would be a funny feature for them to add. You delete it. It goes, ah. That feels like a Family Guy cutaway. As Peter's like, I'm just going to delete all these old gut fails from the DVR. Delete, delete, delete,
oh,
delete.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I tried to get something done like 12 years ago where you could have something on your iPhone where when you plugged it in, it went,
oh. Oh, really?
Yeah. But nobody bit. They don't know.
They just don't get it.
All right. Well, Gutfeld. We hardly knew ye, but I think we knew ye enough.
I'm glad we did that.
If he thinks he can beat us in the market for fake outrage and bad quips, I say no way.
And if he wants to riff with me theme song for theme song, I will do a 70s, 80s theme song.
An open invite to Cat Timpf.
Oh, Timpf. It's Timpf time.
A timpany.
It's time for a timpany, yes. It's time for Timpf. Oh, God. Well, no, but seriously, today it's time for top five. Yes. JC, this
All
was
right.
your hot topic, so tell us what we get.
Top five things that make you cry. Okay, so my number five is sports related. I think I cry a lot at sports. If my favorite team or player wins, it's usually like wins. Yeah. I've even gone to my very first hockey game when the lights went down and everything started swirling. I cried. So
yeah, no, I get that. Some of mine are sports related.
My number four, proposal videos. I don't know why.
Yeah. Those don't get me at all.
I can't not. My number three, sleep deprivation. If I'm tai-tai.
Real talk.
I'll be like, first I'll start out as a crabby baby.
Yeah.
And then I'll probably cry if I don't go to bed. my number two is basically the word empathy. No, if someone's crying, I cry. Like Goldie, anytime you tear up, I tear up. I watched one episode once of The Biggest Loser. And
oh, I love that show.
Stu was taking a nap, and when he woke up, he was like, he thought someone died. I was crying so, it was crazy. Do you cry when you watch that show?
I used to love that show. Yeah. I just remember the theme song of that. Gutfeld, come on, do you remember the
Biggest Loser?
You used to, but you never
what
cried.
Have you done?
Oh, wait, no, I do.
To make
hey,
you feel
you're
proud.
The biggest loser, the biggest loser tonight.
Hey, Tubby, let's lose some weight today.
You're gonna climb a rock wall and swing on a rope all day. Hey, let's get on the scale. You better not bail. We're not gonna fail. It's the biggest loser. You're the loser. We're all losers tonight.
Woo! That's riffing.
That's it, right?
That's riffing.
That was it. That was better. Much better. Did you have number one, Jason?
I do. Number one.
Yeah.
Losing someone you love, or even just the thought of losing someone you love. That's my number one.
Yeah. You had a couple of real person things. I kind of avoided those. All right. So for me, number five, reaction videos.
I
love reaction videos. I love when people experience joy and sorrow of watching things that I've seen 1,000 times. That makes me excited. Number four. I mentioned this before in the podcast, Secretariat at the Belmont. I can watch that once a year.
And
it's
cry.
Just a tremendous machine. Number three, Forrest Gump asking if his son is stupid makes me cry every time.
It does? Why? Goldie.
The way he says it is so awesome. I love that Goldie loves that so much. Why are you mocking what I cry about? Forrest Gump asking, he asks in such a sweet way if his son is stupid.
I don't know if we were teaching radio or radio.
Yeah, exactly.
When someone is acting in that way now, it seems just so on face offensive.
I know, yeah, totally.
I know, but Tom Hanks got away with it. God bless him.
I know.
Great movie. 10-quadrant movie. Number two, and Goldie could have probably predicted this one, maybe you too, JC, Chalky Riverbed E.T.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I can't wait till number one.
Ooh, God. Number one, this is very specific. It's a video that I've seen, I don't know why, so many times, to show you how attached animals get to their owners.
Oh.
It's this German shepherd literally crying on its owner's grave.
Oh.
And like just so he can smell that she's there, but he knows that she's not there.
Oh
and
my God.
And the German shepherd, its lips are flapping because he's hyperventilating on the grave. So that one gets
Whoa.
Me the most.
That's heavy.
Even just talking about it.
I almost can't hear about it.
I know.
I'll send it to you, Bo.
Please don't.
All right.
I'd rather watch Gutfeld.
Oh, I might hold you to that. Oh, we're moving on.
All right. So number five for me was the Luther Vandross song Dances with My Father.
Oh, wow.
That is I've seen very sad videos of that. That's great.
Yeah. If your dad is dead, it'll hit you.
You miss dancing with him.
The number...
I get it.
The number four is jumpy old timey film strip footage set to dramatic music, especially if it's of wartime stuff.
Wow.
That's so specific.
Wait, yeah. Is it a jumpy old time movie footage
like
set
of D-Day or something?
Yes. Oh. Or people even like after they've won or
yes.
You know just yeah. it's that thing, it's the carpe diem moment of the old alumni, the black and white, they're all dead.
The greatest generation,
their lives were as real to them as ours are to us, but
yeah,
all they seem all that's left is black and white.
Yeah, the greatest generation. I bet they didn't work from Zoom every day of the week.
Number three is there is a pug Facebook owners group. Every day it seems a few pugs die, or as they call it there, cross the rainbow bridge.
Aww.
And the people's tributes to their dogs are so sweet and heartfelt that
Gutfelt.
it's
It's I'm tearing up.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Number two, my dad's grave. My dad's grave. When I go to my dad's grave, I cry.
Yeah,
of course.
You've got a right to.
It gets me every time.
Yeah.
And the number one thing is watching my kids perform.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't do it without crying.
That's so sweet. Aww. I love that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Great list. All right, so what do we have next week?
The top five best looking people ever.
Oh, ooh. I love this. I think about this all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
This will be a good one.
Yes. So it's, people could be male or female.
Anyone ever. Top five best looking people in history.
Love that. I love that one.
Awesome.
Oh, looking
number five, Cat Timpf.
That's amazing.
Timpf. I love doing that close to the mic. Timpf. All right. Great top five. Great category, yes. JC. I'm looking forward to that one. Next week is sort of a palate cleanse to this emotional one. Oh, and before we forget, we have a great guest next week. We're super excited for Mike Gibbons. Goldie and I have worked with Gibby. We can call him that because we've worked with him. We know him.
Where did
Mike
you guys
Gibbons
work?
We worked together on The Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn.
I didn't know.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and,
so cool.
And Gibby has worked with some of our absolute favorites and some giants in the business. He has worked with our good friend Brody Stevens, rest in peace, Don't Hit He Gone.
I won't.
He worked with David Letterman most recently on his most recent show.
That's cool.
And he worked, obviously, with Kilborn, and he worked with so many people. He's been through it many, many times, so we can't wait to talk to him next week, even though JC says he's being a problem.
No.
But we'll sort that out next week.
I said the exact opposite for the record.
But now let's end the show like we do every week on a high note. Oh, thank you, Tom and Max. Oh, and by the way, Tom Gamble has that great shirt out. I don't know if people can get that. I saw it on some site called, I think, Bonfire.
Bonfire, yeah. I posted the link on our Instagram.
Tom Gamble, our great friend, hilarious writer, and very talented animator, illustrator, has designed a shirt in support of the writers during the writer's strike. And if you want to get that, I already have purchased one.
Same.
Go to Bonfire and look for, what is it, Stop the Robots, I think would be the thing to look for. What the t-shirt says.
Yes.
All right, I'll go quickly. TV-themed show today, so my high note is a TV show. It's a show called Happy Valley. I don't know if you know this show. It's a British crime
show.
It's so
fucking great. This is my wheelhouse.
Great. Yes.
Yeah, I love British crime
shows. They had two almost perfect seasons, the first season and the second season. They were both excellent. And then they've had this several-year gap, and now season three has just come out. And I have watched the first two episodes, and I can report that it might be even better than the first couple of amazing seasons.
Yeah. And so where
Happy
do we stream
Valley.
This?
Well, Amazon? I stream it on something called Acorn,
Acorn,
which is a BritBox type thing. But I think it's also on BBC America, unlike just regular television.
It's
but
not on Amazon Prime? Maybe it's not out yet on Amazon
Maybe.
Prime.
Maybe. Anyway, wherever you can find Happy Valley, please watch it. It's great.
Okay. Mine's pretty quick and light.
Yeah.
The French Open. I just love a Grand Slam. And
it's on clay, you know.
It's on clay, red clay. Gaël Monfils, who is a 36-year-old Frenchman, very legendary player. He should have lost this match. He was down like 4-1 in the fifth set. And I had to turn off the match, and then suddenly I got a notification that he won. He came back and won. He had cramps. He was cramped, could barely move during his speech afterwards. So,
mon fils, mon Dieu.
Okay. You speak French, I don't.
I
but
just
yes.
Gutfeld riffed on you.
Yes.
Go ahead, Goldie.
So mine is Las Vegas. During the pandemic, I would have said I will probably never go to Las Vegas again.
Yeah.
Yes.
It felt like the odds, if you were setting a line, I would set them at 0.5 as the over-under to whether I would get there again.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I brought my 7-year-old, and Las Vegas is for children.
That makes perfect sense.
This is who should be going to Las Vegas. Right. There's a hotel that's a castle, a hotel that's a pyramid.
Right.
These shows are very entertaining for them.
Yes.
Right. Who'd you somewhat see? For us.
Who'd you see?
So I saw The Beatles Love.
Awesome. That's great.
It's my third time. There was a giant fist fight in the front row during The Beatles Love. What a city.
What a city.
I don't know how you get in a brawl at Love. And so two rows clear out, people running and shrieking.
Wow.
And then it was during the song Revolution, and they're doing these Cirque du Soleil, very difficult stunts. And I'm kind of scared that they're going to throw some performer's mojo off, and a person's going to fall from, you know, suspension, whatever. But what ended up happening was there was a performer on one part of the stage who missed the fact that there was a brawl. And then it was clear he's supposed to rotate to this other part of the stage. So as these people had just had this huge fight in front of them, and he runs and he goes to the front of the stage and leans into the row with flashing the peace sign and goes, yeah! I guess that's part of the show. But so I really enjoyed that. And I saw the Blue Man Group, which remains a good show. Although it seems kind of dated. I remember at the time I saw it in the 90s thinking this was the most avant-garde, incredible thing I'd ever witnessed. Yeah. I did not feel the same, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a fun, listen, Las Vegas is back. Didn't see one MAGA hat. People now know that's social death. You can go there and have a decent time again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Great.
When you went there, was that where Thanks for the Rice happened?
That was. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It happened technically in Baker, I believe, on the way back.
Yeah. The Mad Greek, I think it was called.
I love tracking that in your life. Thanks for the rice. Well, thanks for the rice. Thank you two for being awesome.
Thanks,
Gutfeld, for the rice.
Thanks for the rice, Gutfeld, and Travis and Biggins. And thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
No, we won't.
That was fun.
And it stops right now.